Morning. And I know that there are people that do things behind the scenes and they aren't looking for recognition. But if we don't recognize people, then I don't think we show appreciation. And I want to thank Sharon for all she did for the Honor Our Senior Supper yesterday. And I want to thank Leanne for helping to administer some of the games that we played. And I especially want to mention Ricky, who, although he was not involved last night, did an excellent job at the funeral of Dwight Pearsall. I told several people funerals are not any good unless they're personal. I never knew Dwight, that he wasn't sitting in a chair and having suffered a stroke. And Ricky just did an excellent job. He's known him for years. Dear friend of the family. And so I want to recognize those three. We appreciate all of you. We've got a wonderful bunch of people that work behind the scenes, and we're proud of all of you, even if I didn't call your name. I want to talk to you just for a moment this morning about success. You know, I can remember when I was in school, the cheerleaders would get out there and they'd say, S-U-C-C-E-S-S. That's the way we spell success. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that want to be successful in this life. There are a lot of ways of finding out how to be a success in this life. You know, you can go to books. You can find books on how to be a success as a mother or a father or a child, not that children really care. There are books on success at how to lose weight and to get healthy and to exercise better. You know, there are books on success on how to make money. And when you get that money, how to invest that money. You know, it used to be when there were bookstores all over the place, you could go in and there would be whole racks of books on how to be a success on dozens of different subjects. Now, I guess you have to go on Amazon or something like that to buy those books. But you know, a lot of times when we think about success, we don't think about the greatest book that we have on success. That's the Bible. It was written by our Creator. Now, I drive a Honda. It's parked out there in the parking lot right now. And if I was going to work on that Honda, and I don't know, I don't have any of those computers, I have to take it somewhere, I would buy a book that was written by Honda, not Chevrolet or Mazda or Nissan. I would want a book written by Honda. I'm a human being. I was created by God. God has given me one owner's manual. He's given all of us one, and it is right here in front of me. And if I want to find out how to be a success in this life, it's by picking up that word and figuring out what God wants me to be. He knows my potential. He knows what I can be, and He can teach me how to become what He wants me to be. Now, I'm going to read in just a moment a short passage out of the tail end of Genesis, chapter 50, verse 15. At this point in that story, and this is a story of the patriarchs, we've got the story of Joseph. Jacob, his father, had just passed away. He had 11 brothers. I guess you all know that. They had sold him into slavery, but Jacob now all of a sudden was gone, and maybe they thought, Jacob's the only one that's keeping us from having Joseph kill us. And so they went and they threw themselves on his mercy. And here in this passage, we have the exchange between those men. Now, it's not exactly what's written in this passage that we can learn from, but it is looking at Joseph and the sort of man that Joseph was and the heart that he had that can teach us how to be successful in this world. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of your servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, "Behold, we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is a beautiful statement that if we're willing to learn from will give us some principles on, number one, how to be a success in this life, but then more importantly, how to be the sort of people that God wants wearing His Son's names. The first thing that we need to learn about Joseph is that he was a man with a tender heart. Yeah, this is the first thing we can learn about him. He was a gentle man. He was a tender man. He was the sort of person that wasn't interested in being bitter. You know, Joseph, it says, wept when they spoke to him. Now here he was so overwhelmed by what they said to him that he started crying. Now I remember when I was a teenager and when I was a young man, I didn't think that real men were supposed to cry. And so I didn't for a long time. I remember crying when my grandfather and my grandmother passed away back in the 80s. But from then on, I don't remember crying. But I do remember one day. You know, it was a Tuesday. I remember that. And probably some of y'all do too. It was great the day of Grady's six-month appointment. He'd only been with us about a half a year. And we were both going to, Tracy'd taken day off school, we were going to go to Murfreesboro to see his doctor. William was about two at the time, maybe two and a half, and he was up and moving around. Tracy was in the bathroom taking a bath, and my daddy called me. Daddy never called. You know, he would answer the phone, and he'd talk for a couple of minutes, and then he'd hand the phone to Mom, but Daddy never called. And he said, "Son, I think you need to turn on your TV." He didn't tell me what channel to turn it on. He didn't tell me what was going on. And I turned on the TV. And I saw that second plane hit that second tower at the World Trade Center. And I saw one and then the other one come down. And I broke down and I bet I cried for 5 minutes. William went running to the bathroom and knocked on the door and said, "Mom, Dad's crying." Now, I have found since then that I can cry, you know, when both of my parents passed away. Yeah, I'm more tender-hearted than I was back before then. You know, in John chapter 11, we got the story of Jesus crying. You know, he wept at Lazarus' tomb. It wasn't because Lazarus had died. Jesus was going to raise him back to life in just a few moments. It was because Mary and Martha's hearts were breaking that he cried. Now these brothers, if you think about it, getting back to our story, they had it all in mind. You know, now that our father's gone, Joseph is going to take advantage of his authority and his power, and he's going to wipe out us and our whole families because of the way that we treated him. You know, Jesus talked about judging in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you." And Jesus wasn't a psychologist. He was the Son of God. But he understood what an awful lot of psychologists know right now. And that is, most of the time when people judge other people, they're judging them by what they would do in a certain situation. Those boys were probably thinking to themselves, "When our father passes away, I know what Joseph's going to do. He's going to kill us all because of what we did to him umpteen years ago." They were judging him according to what they felt at that time. But that wasn't Joseph. He wasn't willing to be drawn into that trap. Joseph is a wonderful man, and he stands out as a man who had a tender heart, who wasn't willing to take revenge. Joseph was a man who wasn't willing to harbor hatred. He was tender-hearted. Now think about Joseph for just a couple of minutes here. We do know that Joseph was number two in command behind the Pharaoh, but look back at his early life. He knew that his brothers had sold him into slavery. They'd gotten money for it. Think of all the things he went through. He was sold as a slave into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's house thought he was good looking. She tried to seduce him. He didn't. She lied about what he had done, and he got thrown into prison. Now, prior to this, God had been with Joseph and had helped him to be a success in Potiphar's house. He went to prison. He was the best prisoner ever. And it says in there that God helped him to be a success as a prisoner. You know, he told the dreams of the butler and the baker, or the cupbearer and the baker. And of course, one of them had his head taken off of him. The other one was released. And Joseph said, "Remember me when you get out of here." Well, he did eventually, but it was several years later. It looked like in Joseph's life that everything was horrible. And he had the opportunity to take his vengeance out on those brothers, but he refused to do so. He didn't focus on what they'd done. Instead, he focused on what God had done through him. And that's part of what made him a success in his life. Joseph was also a man with a humble heart. The second thing worth noticing about him is that he refused to play God. You remember those brothers came to him and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." And he said, "Do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God?" Now when they fell down on their knees and begged his mercy, I wonder if he recollected that dream that he had about those sheaves of grain bowing down before that other sheave of grain. I wonder if that came to mind. Joseph was saying to them, "You know, you're treating me like Jehovah God, but I'm not Jehovah God. I'm just your brother. What you meant evil for me, God brought about to make it good for not only you, but for your children and all the rest of the family that you have." Here's Joseph, and he's showing humility. Now the Bible is filled with the stories of people who were humble. I don't want to mention but two. One of them, of course, is a major character in the whole Bible, and that was Jesus, and he said, "I haven't come to be served, I came to serve." And in the story in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius and his household, when Peter went up there to see Cornelius, you remember Cornelius bowed before Peter. And Peter reached out with his hand and lifted him up and he said, "I'm just a man myself." You know, that's the way we need to consider ourselves. Sometimes we think that we might be great. We're so successful. We've made a lot of money. We've got a good business going. You know, we're better at raising our children than other people are. But we've got to remember, you know, that we're all just regular, ordinary people. Amen. Just ordinary Joes, I think it is. And none of us are better than others. Amen. Only Jesus was better. We'd be much better off if we just considered ourselves ordinary folks and learned to say the same prayer that David did. "Lord, make me to know my life and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." We're just people. Amen. Isn't any of us good enough to even kiss the garment of Jesus' robe? We need to remember that. We need to be humble. Joseph was a man with a spiritual heart, and this is a third principle about his life that we can learn. He looked back and he saw that God's fingerprints was all over him. It's easier to see when you get older. When you're a young person, you don't really know that God is there. But as you get older, you can see how God has used you, how He's helped you, how He's directed you and pointed you in the right direction. In verse 20 of our text, Joseph told his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is today, to save many people alive." Now this is a real interesting statement. Joseph saw God. Well, you've seen these bumper stickers. You know, "God is my co-pilot." Well, you know, to Joseph, God was his pilot. God was sending him where he needed to be. We need to remember that. We need to live our lives as closely in contact with God as we can. I want you to ask you a question. When the end of your day comes, maybe this evening, and maybe you're lying there in bed, maybe it's after you've said your prayers, maybe it's before, think about it. Now today is an exception because it's Sunday, and I know you've been here, but think about it. As you go through your regular routine, how often do you think about God and His Word and what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do? You know, there are a lot of us as we go through our life. Yeah, we get up in the morning, we go through our routine. We go to work or we go to a school and we interact with various and sundry people. And, you know, we have relationships with our children, our parents, our spouses, and all of these people. But how close during your daily walk do you come to God? Do you recollect what you studied on Sunday or what you read? Some of these 12 people in your Bible that day or what you're going to read this evening? Do you meditate on what you've studied? How close do you stick to God in your daily walk? There's a passage in Genesis chapter 5. And it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." What do we know about Enoch? I think he was 324 years old when God took him. Now this was when men were living to 800 and 900 years. God took him away and he never experienced death. There's only one other person in the Bible that is remembered in that way. And you remember that was Elijah, who went to heaven in a chariot of fire. These two men, there was something special about them, but it says about Elijah that he was not, for God took him, and it says that he walked with God. He was somewhat maybe like Joseph was. He knew that God was in his life, that there were things that God wanted him to do. In the next chapter, in Genesis chapter 6, Noah is described as having been a just man who walked with God. Wonderful story there about Joseph. We know Noah had some sins, okay, but it also says that he walked with God. Could this describe you? Do you walk with God throughout your day? We need to remember that God is always with us. Now, He doesn't protect us from everything. When we say a prayer, we need to make sure we say that prayer the way Jesus did. Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." God will be with us. He will direct us overall like an umbrella. He might not protect us from every harm, but He's always there. Joseph saw this, and again, that's part of the reason he was a success. Joseph was a man with a dedicated heart. And this is the fourth thing that we need to see. I think Joseph had an interesting philosophy of life, and I think his philosophy was, "I'm going to be good, and I'm going to be good in it many times of the day as it's possible for me to do good." He said in verse 21, "I will provide for you and your little ones." Now there's an interesting contrast in this story between Joseph and his brothers, or I'll say his brothers and Joseph. His brothers come to Joseph, and they were just sure that Joseph was going to kill him. You know, all they could think of was the horrible things they'd done to Joseph. And this is a perfect time to get back at us. That's what they thought. But Joseph said, "I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to take care of your families too." Those brothers just knew they were in for a whooping, or maybe even a killing. But all Joseph thought was, "I'm going to take care of all of y'all." They thought he would take revenge, but all he thought about was do it good. You know, this quality ought to be a part of everyone who is a child of God. We ought to be willing to think good things and to be good people and to do good things. The old gospel preacher T.B. Larimore used to get up in the morning and he would say over and over to himself, "I'll have a pure heart this day, a pure conscience. I'll be good and I'll do good." Now, could you ask for anything better than that? "I'll have a pure heart, a clean conscience. I'll be good and I'll do good." Just think about how the world might change around us if we had that same resolution in our lives. You know, when going back to Peter at Cornelius is in Acts chapter 10. Peter got to the part where he wanted to tell Cornelius and his people there about Jesus, he said that Jesus went about doing good. Now, there were a lot of ways that Peter could have talked about Jesus. Well, he was the Son of God. He was our Savior. He never committed a sin. He was perfect. He went to the cross. He was resurrected from the grave. And I have no doubt he touched on all of those things. But he summed up Jesus' life by saying he went about doing good. Shouldn't that describe every one of us? Think about it just for a second. If we all went about doing good, isn't that the same as holding up your Christian light? Because that's what we're all commanded to do. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." The mark of a Christian is that he or she has decided to do all the good that they can in all the times that they can do it. And a long time before Jesus came to earth, Joseph was out there doing all the good that he could. You know, in closing, it seems to me like our world is so evil that it can almost overwhelm the good that we can do. I've got written down in the front of one of my Bibles, though, and I don't know where I heard it. It says, "All the darkness in the world can't put out the light of a single candle." A good breeze can. But all the darkness in the world can't put out the light of a single candle. And we're commanded to go and shine our light. And that's what Joseph did in his life. You know, his heart was wonderful. And he was a great man. He had a tender, loving heart. He wasn't willing to play God with anyone. He wasn't willing to harbor bitterness in his heart. He was a man who knew that God was pointing him in the right direction. He was a humble man. He didn't want to play God with anyone. And his main ambition was to do all the good he could in his life. That's what made Joseph a success. And that's what can make us a success, so that God will be proud of those who wear his son's name. We need to hold up our light. We need to be a success as Christians. It's what we're called to do. If you're not a child of God, then you're not a success the way that the Bible defines success. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to make the good confession, and you've got to be baptized so your sins are washed away. Or if you need to come and repent of some public sin, if you need to come and ask for the prayers of the saints, we're here, we love you, we care for you. As this song is sung, if you need to come, won't you, as we stand and sing.